Good morning, Metroplex. Thanks for being a Tolo. We want to reward you for it. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. On your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, is the rain about to start over the next few days?
Started last night. Oh, man, did it pour on the way home from Keensay.
How was that?
It was very good. Very good. On the way back, though, man, the deluge.
Yep.
Sure. I mean, I could barely see it. I hadn't driven the truck in the rain yet like that. Handles quite well. Having tires with tread on them
makes a difference.
Is a game changer,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, what you were driving into what you're in now, you look like you're that excited that you just want to go now take it in the rain.
I do. Yeah. I just want to drive in the
When's
rain.
When's the next downpour?
I don't know, but it's a free car wash. That's how I looked at it yesterday.
It feels, in a bigger vehicle like the Explorer or the truck or something else, or I don't know if you've experienced it in the Jeep, like you do feel more secure, like because of those big tires, but at the same time, I also feel like if this loses control, I feel like it's going to really lose control, way worse than in a car.
The other cars are in trouble.
Yeah, we're all in trouble.
The other cars are in trouble.
No, I've always like felt like a bully driving an SUV around everyone else. Like, I'm going to merge when I want. I'm bigger than you. Get out of the way. Yeah, I really don't do that. I'm a passive driver. But my dad, I thought he was actually going to call the dealership over there that you hooked me up with. And say, is he buying an all-wheel drive? Like, he's side-texting Amanda to be like, your old car, I'm thinking about buying it. Is it all-wheel? I've been raised and trained. You have to buy. You cannot get a car that's not an all-wheel or four-wheel drive. And I'm like, it's Texas, Dad. It's not the same thing. And I thought he's going to call up the dealership with my daddy calling. So I just have to always lie to him about what it is.
You've said before, he's a big worrier, right?
Oh, my God.
So is he like thinking, like, if you don't have the all-wheel drive, you're going to roll over? Or like, what's he
panicking? Yeah, snow
slip and slide.
In the snow.
Rain.
Yeah.
Even rain. So I'm like, asking all the peeps over there, so if it's two-wheel drive in the rain, am I putting my family in jeopardy? And they're like, no, man.
Because my dad said.
Yeah,
my dad said.
Just slide out. All right. The Cowboys got CeeDee Lamb back at practice yesterday, Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. They also ended up trading Peyton Hendershot. It's a conditional seventh-round pick with the Kansas City Chiefs. Bobby Belt with the tweet. Over the 53-man roster, notable players who made it. Deuce Vaughn, Ryan Flournoy, Buddy Johnson, Mukwamu, Waletzko, Tyrus Wheat. Notable cuts, Josh Ball, Malik Davis, Justin Rogers, Julius Wood, CeeDee Lamb not active yet, Udoga to go on the IR today.
Yeah, and Lamb probably will not be active until next week.
But he can still practice.
He can still practice. It's commissioner's exempt list. So what that means is they get a two-week exception where they're able to, over the course of 2 weeks, it's kind of like the IR window where when you activate somebody, they got that three-week practice window where they can practice, but they don't play until you activate them. Commissioner's exempt list means he can practice. He can't play in a game until they activate him. They'll activate him in time for Cleveland. Just right now, I think their approach is, let's take the rest of the week, see what kind of roster turnover there is across the league, who we might want to add or cut before we make a decision to actively bring CeeDee on, because right now they can essentially have 54 players with CeeDee practicing.
Lamb got his money. What about the quarterback? CeeDee talking about if number four is going to be around in the future.
It's amazing, bro. If you go look at our numbers together, they're at the top of the charts, and I have no doubt that they're going to get a deal done. And we all know that I want Dak here. Jerry wants Dak here too. So let's just get this under control. Kill the speculations. Let's go win.
So that's CeeDee trying to mediate a little bit. We all know what's going to happen.
I know what he means. I do like the way he says, like, we're at the top of the charts. Like, they're a hit single or something like that.
Like Oasis.
Yeah, Oasis.
That's very good.
We're way at the top of the charts, me and Dak. But he's, you know, it's the important word there, the one that he uses, he talks about, like, kill the speculation. Because that is the one of the biggest threats, I think, of not getting it done right now is the speculation can really quickly turn into hurt feelings and toxicity and insecurity.
Just ask the head coach, because Bobby Belt has been wanting to talk about this for a little bit. The other day, McCarthy, he kind of, you know, stopped down the presser, and this is why he loves RJ Choppy so much. Because he's like, y'all keep asking me what happens in the playoffs since when did it become so damn easy to rip off 12-win seasons? And I was like, ooh, I read that. And I was like, okay. Jerry Jones was asked over the weekend, how has McCarthy handled the lame duck status on the one-year deal?
I don't know that I've ever seen a coach change coaching or change how hard he works over his contract. I didn't know anything like that ever happened or could happen. So I see no difference in what Mike is. Mike's Super Bowl winning coach and has had an outstanding record since he's been here. And that's where it is. We all got Green Bay on our mind. We all have it on our mind. We all know until we can get that addressed, then we're going to always have a bad taste in our mouth.
Do you believe that people perform at their best sometimes when their backs are against the wall?
Absolutely, I do. I really do. There's no question in my mind that tanks, pressure, competing will bring out the best in this game from coaches and players. But in this game, you've got to have some extra over the guys that you're in front of. And so that's why I'm kind of amazed at someone talking about somebody, the job they're doing, without a contract. Blows my mind.
That is a classic Jerry, 1 minute cut of Jerry. Like, if you want to hear how Jerry addresses issues, that's a perfect example of it, where he sets it up as like, I didn't know coaches ever coached any harder, but we're not able to get Green Bay out of our head. I'll tell you that lasting image of there. And yeah, when your back's against the wall, when you feel it a little circles. Bit of pressure, you coach even better, which is why I think it's weird to think somebody would coach differently because their back is against the wall.
It blows billionaire Jerry Jones's mind that the rest of us at work, when not being given security, could have angst towards it. I talked about this last week. I said this same exact Jerry theory last week. He believes that the pressure, and he told us this in Malibu, when we were actually invited a few years ago, he believes that the pressure creates diamonds, and he does not look. It's kind of what you believe with rookie quarterbacks. You're like, okay, you throw them out there. If they can't handle the scarring, they're not the person. Move on. That's how Jerry feels about all this.
It is. I mean, look, I mean, for him to, and I generally agree, like, you know, if Mike were to, if he said, oh yeah, he's working so much harder, that would indicate to me like that
he thinks
he wasn't working hard before.
I don't think right now it's going to change any work ethic, but it can change attitude.
Oh, but you're right. Like the angst,
the angst
that it gives you, the uncertain, and Mike is.
The resentment.
Mike is wealthy beyond his means, right? Mike has got more money than he'll ever know what to do with.
Yeah.
So like, that's still not like us. Like you lose your job. It's like, okay, I mean, how many weeks do I have like before I run out of money, right? And it's not months, not years. For McCarthy, it's, oh, I could live the rest of my life, never work again, I'll be fine. But like for most people, you lose your job, it's like, okay, how many weeks do I have? Like how many more mortgage payments can I actually put out?
Yeah.
That creates an angst.
And for me, like if I'm Dak Prep, the evil, whatever I talked about, what shoulder the evil is on, maybe it's the left.
I think it's the left.
Okay. The left shoulder.
I knew you were going to.
It's always on the left.
God is on the right.
My left shoulder, the sick part of me, wants to see Dak Prescott ball out, make it to the NFC Championship game or Super Bowl, whatever happens, and then say, screw you, I'm out. Because that's how I would act. You keep me in limbo. You haven't given me my money yet. You're daring me. You're daring me to go somewhere else. And if I found another situation I really, really liked, finally for them to get burned by the arrogance of that logo and that star, because that's what it can do to you with the disrespect. You can view it as disrespectful as a player or a coach or a person and have resentment towards your bosses. Jerry, apparently that's a foreign concept to him with it.
Yeah, I think that's a real possibility.
Sorry, Bobby.
No, you're good.
Don't tell me that Mike McCarthy, knowing him the little bit that I do, don't tell me Mike McCarthy's not bitter and ticked off over his contract status. Don't tell me that. I don't care what Mike says. I don't care what anyone says. The little bit I know about McCarthy, don't tell me he's not resentful and ticked off. You think Mike McCarthy, and the majority of us would feel the same way. You think they're sitting there going, well, I know I got my ass kicked by Green Bay. I understand. No, Mike McCarthy's going, give me the other 36 win coaches in the last 3 years. Give me someone else who elevated Dak Prescott to second in the league, MVP. I took over the play calling. I led the league in scoring. I got the high-octane offense. I deal with all the BS around here. Give me my extension. That is what Mike McCarthy is thinking. Don't tell me any different.
It's Andy Reid. That's the other 36-win coach in the last 3 years.
Is that it?
I think it maybe, I don't even think Harbaugh got it.
Yeah, if you're...
Well, yeah, he was in college.
if you are... let's say you're a seller. You're part of a sales team. And you feel like, I've blown past my quotas every single year. But because I haven't been the top seller in the company, you're giving me a vote of no confidence.
Yes.
That's probably how McCarthy views it. Where it's like, I understand I haven't been the very top, but I've hit every marker that you would expect reasonably of a coach other than being at the very top. We've asked this of guests. I don't think I've asked this of you guys yet. Do you think, just naturally, McCarthy and Dak, are their futures here are completely tied together? Or do you think they could be separated?
No. Dak Prescott has a much stronger chance of being here longer than Mike McCarthy. They're not tied together.
Could this team be 7-10 next year and Dak is back, though? Because if they're 7-10, McCarthy's out, clearly.
Yeah. Clearly.
But do you think they would bring Dak back if they go 7-10?
Okay, let me ask you this. Are the Cowboys, are they still in evaluation mode? Is that why we're here, or are they just quibbling over
pennies? I think in a vacuum, the Cowboys know who Dak Prescott is.
Because
I think they believe in him. The Cowboys are just always trying to think of it in terms of, like, how much do I believe? Do I want to pay that? Like, they know who he is. They've determined he's a franchise quarterback who we can win with. It's just they're trying to go, okay, well, like, but do we want to pay this? They get in that negotiation space way too much in their head sometimes.
Yeah, I don't think they're tied together, but if they're like, you know, if they go in and they lose in the first round of the playoffs after another 12-win season, Dak's back, Mike's not. But if they're 7-10, yeah. I think that brings into question, like,
if he plays really bad.
Yeah, are you going to throw $65 million at somebody who just won seven games?
877-881-1053 is the way to call and text in order to get those Texas Rangers tickets. We're going to have it in the commercial-free expressway. We're going to chop it up at 7:40. Former NFL general manager, who we really like from the Super Bowl, Thomas Dimitroff, at 8 o'clock on DFW Sports Station. Let's break things up a little bit with a little college football kegger. I may tap it. With the Connor Stallions documentary, the Michigan documentary that Kevin Hegelin will absolutely love. Are they guilty? Should Harbaugh be scarred? And how DeMarco Murray got punished at Oklahoma next.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Oh, man. Oklahoma is in some serious trouble, Sean Sharif. DeMarco Murray, impermissible contact with, let's see,
wife.
17 prospects.
Oh, Bobby.
Yikes. That's a thing that happened.
Okay.
Is it like public?
Yes, it was very public.
Better be.
17 prospects.
What's his nickname?
Spray Tan. That's what he was in her phone as.
60.
I was like, DeMarco's getting spray tans? Man.
Possible.
Chef Eric, 17
prospects over 16 months, a little over a year, 65 phone calls, 36 text messages that Murray says he was not aware that a COVID waiver of recruiting contact rules had expired. So this was during the COVID years, right? This was during all that.
Oh,
so Murray got pinched for one game, one game suspension. What?
That's the Italian you. He got pinched.
So they open up a RICO case. They tapped his phone. They got him.
That is the Italian.
Never turn against the Switzer.
This is why Paulie always wants face to face.
Oh, man. So Oklahoma will serve 1 year of probation, must pay a large $5,000 fine. They also impose a 3-week ban on phone and electronic correspondence with recruits. Between December of this year and March 31st of next year, and they are not allowed to have any unofficial visits during their season opener against Temple on Friday. How are they going to survive this?
This sounds like a parent's punishment to a high schooler. You're grounded from your phone for 3 months. You're not allowed to do this. Like, it sounds like a list of things like you would punish a teenager with.
It really does.
You know what I was thinking while reading this story? I'm like, at any point, are you thinking, I'm DeMarco Murray. I have the Dallas Cowboys rookie rushing single game record, and I am having to play 65 phone calls and send 36 text messages to these kids to recruit.
To these I'm kids who have no idea who I am.
Yeah. Or just having to do that grunt work.
That's now look, some guys get a high off this. Like, right, there's a hustle to it. You know, I don't know what DeMarco was like from like a business standpoint. Like, some guys was like, they want to be movers and shakers. They want to make, you know, there are the list of great recruiters. Like, if you're a great recruiter, you are a super valuable asset to a, like, maybe the most valuable asset to a college football program outside the head coach.
Yeah.
And if DeMarco is that and he's just an elite recruiter, then, like, obviously good for him.
Well, DeMarco loves it. Like, that's one of the things that you'll hear a lot about him, is that he didn't want to be away from the game long. Like, normally you see somebody, I think people are kind of surprised Sean Lee hasn't gotten into coaching at this point, because Sean Lee said at one point he wanted to, but, like, surprised that he's taken the time off that he has. A lot of people take a little bit of time off. He kind of got right into coaching. I think DeMarco went straight to Arizona right after retiring. So he's one of these guys who just, he loves being around the game.
Did you see Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers get pinched, RJ?
Oh, no.
Mike Florio, who will join us Friday at 8, Pro Football Talk reported that they were ordered to take additional gambling education courses after news of a $10,000 bet between the two came out over Rookie of the Year. And I think it was Malik who spilled it, and Jaden's like, oh, dude, you're supposed to, like, keep it quiet. But in an interview with The Pivot, Neighbor said he and Jaden bet which one of them would win the award. I think it's $10,000 in cash. So now, they apparently, the NFL cracked down on them, and they're sending them back to, like, gambling education to learn about it.
I mean, look, the league has they have to do this. You know, they have to, like, crack down on this. At least have the appearance they're cracking down on it, because the last thing that any of these leagues want is the integrity of their games feeling like it's not there.
Yeah.
That people are out there, you know, stat padding just for the prop bet.
We had a, there was a story from ESPN last week, I think it was, where it's one of the closer looks we've ever gotten at how the NFL monitors the gambling markets with their players and things like that. They have, apparently, at every stadium something called an integrity representative, which sounds super newspeak-like, but they have integrity representatives who literally just roam the stadium on game days looking for this unspecified suspicious activity. It's like former CIA guys, FBI, law enforcement officials, and they have this super intense monitoring on prop bets on the bet market, like you were just talking about, Chop, where they look for movement on weird props, and then they start investigating players. So LSU again getting themselves in trouble where they're too loud with their money. They win the national title and Odell Beckham's literally throwing cash at people in front of cameras and they go like, it was fake money.
Before we get into the Connor Stallions documentary that I watched last night on Netflix, I think Bobby sent the trailer of the Aaron Hernandez documentary that's coming out on FX.
You don't know the kind of thoughts I have. Like a demon. What if God made me this way?
Tell me something, Aaron. You love to play football?
That's all I've ever done.
The players, they're gods, they're like gladiators.
Wherever you go now, people are watching you. You can't make mistakes, Aaron.
Pops kept you on the field, off the streets.
What does that mean?
You're soft.
Still looks soft to you.
You have so many secrets. Must be a lot of pressure.
The drugs. The sex. The anger.
Nobody's questioning your athletic ability, Aaron. They're questioning your character.
I'm in. It wasn't just from this. Anyone who came out with anything on Aaron Hernandez, I can't remember who put out the documentary or the piece a while back. It was really, really good. Kind of, it may have been a 30 for 30. I don't know, but I'll be watching this. Did FX do Donald Sterling?
FX did the OJ one, right?
Yeah, so OJ you remember the People versus OJ Simpson?
Oh, that was awesome.
So this is the next in that series. They're getting into sports now. So they did American Crime Story, which was People versus OJ Simpson, the death of Giovanni Versace or whatever it was. Then there was the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky one. So now they're getting into sports ones. So this one's American Sports Story, and I think this is the first one they've done, which will have like his days at Florida, like that one saying, nobody's questioning your athletic. That's supposed to be Urban Meyer talking to him.
So do you like the documentaries or do you like the reenactments? Kind of like, right, the People versus OJ.
People versus OJ Simpson was fantastic. Yes. I mean, I like the dramatization stuff. And so, I can enjoy both of them. It just depends on what kind of a mood I'm in.
Okay, so last night, since the Rangers got rain delayed, I had to find something to watch. And I said, all right, Kevin Hagelin, let's see if this Connor Stallions Michigan documentary on Netflix is better than the Steve McNair one. It 1,000,000% absolutely was. And, you know, we are familiar with this story, but I wasn't totally following it. Every single detail along the way, because frankly, I'm not smart enough and these things get confusing to me when you throw 14 different things and it's college and all these different accusations on message boards. But this was really good. So Connor Stallions is a psycho, I'll take a bullet sports fan for my program. And that program, University of Michigan, grew up obsessed, you know, dressing up Halloween like a football coach. So he said, I want to be a football coach. And that's why he went to the Naval Academy. He said, I want to get in there. He was researching the greatest coaches in history, whether it's Belichick, Popovich. And he said, they seem to have one thing in common. Bo Schembechler, military, service people. So that drove him to go to the Naval Academy. And he walked in to the head coach's office and said, I want to get into coaching. I want to help you guys. What can I do? And the coach is like, all right, show up on Monday. We'll figure something out. And that's when he got into deciphering signals. You're going to stand on the sideline and you're just going to watch the other sideline. And that's how you can go ahead and help us. And Michigan, by the way, seemed like they were behind in this area, even with Harbaugh. So if you think Harbaugh is this chronic cheater like Belichick with multiple stories, it sounded like that they were behind in that area.
I mean, the guy that wears the same pants every day is behind.
Hey, they say geniuses dress the same.
That's right.
You don't have to, you know, waste brain space on figuring out a different outfit.
Matching outfits, yeah.
Yeah. So, first game was against Ohio State. I got that.
I got it, too.
First game was against Ohio State, and you remember, Naval Academy played them really, really close. And, of course, they're going to make it seem like Connor Stallions was the difference. Like the Naval Academy was only close with the Mighty Buckeyes because of this new kid from Michigan. Well, after doing this for a while, he went to a Harbaugh coach's clinic and he went to the linebacker coach who later got fired. And he's like, same thing. I want to coach. I'm amazed by the head coaches in these programs who are just like, oh, you just want to coach? I will find something for you. Show up on Monday.
Especially like in college.
Now, maybe it didn't happen like that, and it was simplified, or Stallions isn't telling it 100% accurate, but it sounded like this happened at two programs, like he was Rudy Rudiger.
Like so for like my understanding of the college game, like you have so many grad assistants that you have on your roster. Like there are, back when I was in college, before everything was like wireless, there was literally a guy that would stand behind the coach holding his cord for his headphones.
Yeah.
And we called him Cord Man. We had no idea what his job was, but that was like his in as a coach. Then I think he went on to be like a coach. But he was just Cord Man.
So Stallions tells the linebacker coach, hey, I deciphered signals at the Naval Academy. I could do that here. And they're like, okay, I don't think we have anyone doing that. Sure. Yeah. And this was 3 years ago. So he would follow the
team. Just the moment when they started to beat Ohio State. Amazing how that works.
Yeah, that's right. Connor Stallions, the difference.
Also, Ryan Day may be the difference. Yeah.
So Stallions ends up flying and following the team on his own dime. In 2018, he said he found an underground network. You want a nerd alert? He found, this is probably where we got Bobby. He found an underground network of college analysts who traded scheme information, like stuff that Stallions was doing. Like, all right, I'll let you know what signals I figured out. You give me something. And there's this underground network of these people that he would talk with all the time. And eventually, he was hired full-time on the Michigan staff because he said, I'm rarely wrong. Like, this guy has a military mindset, and he's obsessed, and he has intelligence. He's smart. So he sat there and filmed himself, recorded himself doing 2,000 to 3,000 poses of what different signals could be. And he put it all out on this, like a play sheet.
Yeah.
It's like a play call sheet.
Crazy.
It was crazy. Against Iowa, he got the game ball in 2022. So this isn't just a total random scrub, like, hey, go mop this up, go, you know, cut up these little shots. Jim Harbaugh recognized him to the point they gave him the game ball after Iowa. So then the investigation breaks, accusing him of being the ringleader of sending people to video record other sidelines. He was suspended with pay. He goes and finds an attorney in Austin who also worked with Manziel, hates the NCAA. This guy's like, I don't want to, and I believe this, I don't want to take down the Michigan program. I don't want to be responsible. I just want you guys to win. I love you that much. I'm gonna be the fall guy. I'm going to resign. Well, come to find out, like, Michigan at the same time has been like, we're firing him. Let's throw him under the bus. We're firing him. And that is the last time he heard from anyone at the Michigan program when he went away. Everyone else, like, you're dead to us.
Oh, baby.
See you later. Peace out. Bye-bye. So now it becomes about, what is Michigan without their helper? And they have Michigan State the next week. They destroy Michigan State. We don't need him. We're just that good. Well, then the Central Michigan incident happens. And I had totally forgotten about this. This is when I start getting confused. Like, what? What are you talking about?
He was on the sideline.
He is apparently on the sideline in glasses and facial hair against Michigan State. Okay? He's just down there. And he says, no, that's not me. He holds up a side-by-side, and he's like, does this look like me? And that's where I'm like, okay, this guy might be a psychopath. He's down there on this sideline. What are you doing? And Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports, Michigan Wolverine diehard.
Alum.
And alum. He outs Connor Stallions.
Connor, did you attend the Central Michigan-Michigan State game on September 1st of 23?
I don't recall attending a specific game there, no.
You don't recall attending the Central Michigan-Michigan State game on September 1st of 23?
He answered the question. He said he didn't recall a specific game. Also, I needed to be done at 12. So in closing, let me just say this.
All right, stop it right here. This is in the NCAA interview. Stallions does not want to get banned from the NCAA, so he finally, after Michigan wins the title, he said, I'm going to cooperate with your investigation. I'm going to answer questions. Because he doesn't want to get kicked out of coaching. He's worked his entire life. It's all he's dreamed of. He's finally broken in. He's got to watch the Wolverines win the championship from the stands, not be a part of it. So he's like, all right, I got to clear my name and give context so I am allowed to continue at the NCAA level. This is his attorney in Austin being like, all right, he answered the question. We need this to go ahead and end by a certain time. But Stallions didn't answer the question. He lied. No, I don't recall. I don't recall if I was on the sideline.
You wouldn't know.
I don't recall the hesitation. I don't recall. And then you're going to hear Portnoy out him.
Also, I needed to be done at 12. So in closing, let me just say this. We believe that Connor's personal private data.
We'd love to get your response on this.
Well, I know the answer to that because he told me. Yeah, that was Connor on the sidelines.
Because he told Dave Portnoy it was him on the sidelines. And in the second half of this piece, you can see him talking and getting involved in Barstool stuff. They'd be doing their college broadcast. Mm-hmm. Stallions walk by real quick on the stage. Dave Portnoy's doing a pizza review. Stallions walks out of the restaurant, you know, for these little, like, Larry David Seinfeld appearances. And Portnoy said, and other people said, he loved the attention. He loved the trolling, and he loved the attention.
This guy's a jock sniffer, man.
Yes.
Big time.
Yes. Yeah.
So is he, from what you've gathered here, is he willing to just be, while he's trying to defend himself, is he willing to be the fall guy for Michigan?
Yes.
So he's not willing to throw Michigan under the bus at all?
No. He's that.
So he's Ife. He's Ohtani's interpreter, basically.
Yes.
By the way, what's his sentence? Where'd that go?
I don't know. Ask Holland.
He got pinched. I don't know.
He has no idea. So while this guy was so meticulous and so detailed about his signal deciphering, he also was a little sloppy here and there. He leaves his Venmo open like Peyton. So his public Venmo shows the tickets bought for Michigan's playoff opponents.
Yeah.
What are you laughing
at? He's so stupid. It's just stupid. Who? It sounds like Stallions.
What year are we in now? Is this 23 or 22 still?
This is like, this, I think this is 23. So Stallions is like Venmoing and paying others to go in video. Now, all these seats, so Stallions goes, now he at one point was sleeping in his car. For a whole year, he didn't have enough money. He's Airbnb-ing his place. He's sleeping in a car. But now, all of a sudden, he's magically got 50-yard line seats to all these stadiums and all these games. And this is where the Washington Post and the NCAA are like, who's funding this? Who is funding you to send your friends and family to these games to videotape? Through the Freedom of Information Act, the Washington Post was told by stadium security, yeah, there's someone in a seat under the name Connor Stallions who is filming. We're watching it on video. Someone is holding up the camera. And Connor Stallions in this Netflix doc admits, yeah, my friends did send me video of the other sideline. He admits it, but he goes, it's like Christmas when someone gets you a gift that you already have. And, you know, I've already memorized the signals. I know all the signals that they're sending me. They just decided to send it to me to be nice. So that's where I made up in my mind here. This guy's a liar, and he definitely cheated and helped Michigan cheat.
In multiple years. Like, we're talking about, like, because there's that whole thing. Because there was that whole thing that with South Carolina, that they beat Clemson and Tennessee in back-to-back weeks, and Michigan needed them both to lose to get in.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, South Carolina, who was losing to everybody, rolls up and scores like 95 points in back-to-back weeks.
Do you view it after watching it, though, like you mentioned, Michigan seemed behind? Do you view it a little like steroid era where it's like, yeah, he absolutely cheated, but do you have the sense now like literally everyone else is doing something like this? So does it change your opinion on that front?
Let me finish. I appreciate the question, but let me finish the recap and then you can ask me. So, of course, as with everything in today's society, it turned into, well, what about you? Forget what we're, what about you?
What about you, Dad?
What about you?
Everybody watching you.
This whole thing gets redirected and turned on Ohio State. Well, who turned this in? Who was the anonymous third party? Who just dropped off this evidence at the door of the Washington Post? Connor Stallions' computer somehow got hacked. Ryan Day's brother is a private investigator.
Mm. It's always been Ohio against the world.
Ryan Day went to school with the reporter from the Washington Post working on the story. So now this is Rich Eisen, who they didn't mention is a Michigan man. My God, Choppy, by the way, my hatred for Michigan turned into crazy. You when I kept hearing the term Michigan man during this damn documentary. So Michigan wins the championship. NCAA does the interview. And then Connor Stallions says, I didn't break the rules. I walk in the gray area fine line. I exploit them. He views it like war. He's going back and listening to Woody Hayes, Bo Schembechler, Naval Academy, his days there. Stallions ends up getting a 3-year coaching ban from college. He's now a defensive coordinator with a high school team in Detroit. And now the Stallions rule, it's unofficially called, finally, starting this year, headset communication.
What a novel concept.
Versus having 8 different people give Greg Maddux signs on the sideline. My final takeaway is, as we say often on this show, the cover-up was worse than the crime. I don't really care if other teams go and film the other sidelines. I don't care. You can use TV copy to do it. You're allowed to sit there on the sideline and watch them. And again, you can rewatch a game, just focus on the sidelines. I don't care if someone goes to a stadium and has a camera. I don't really care. I don't view it as I think everyone's doing it. The cover up here is worse, but I do view Connor Stallions and Michigan as technically breaking the rules.
Do you think it's worse? So do you feel the same way about the Astros?
No. Because, go ahead, Bobby.
I was going to say, I think sign stealing in baseball is so much more different than sign stealing in football.
I don't know. I mean, well, yeah, it is. But, like, if you know the pitch versus being on offense and knowing the defense,
well, it's or like if I'm
on defense, knowing what the offense
I don't know.
Is.
There's just something so much seedier to banging something before a pitch versus watch their dugout. I give you credit for picking up the code versus like relaying or having a wire attached to Altuve. That seems like it seems dirtier.
Right. Like if you're a catcher and you're lazy with your signs.
Yeah.
And that's why they use pitch gum.
Yeah.
Right. The Astros created pitch gum, like basically mandated it now. And this mandated the headsets.
And then
the fact that Oregon was holding up a sign that had a duck, had a picture of Bob Hope, and had a golf ball on it, and that meant something. That was insane.
Here's the thing, though. The Greg Maddux documentary shows us what the Astros did is worse. Because in football, how many times do we hear, we know what they're running, we know by their alignment and everything else, but you have to stop it because it's about execution. In baseball, like the Maddux documentary showed us, knowing what's coming or thinking you know what's coming is completely crucial to what you're able to do. Like if Bonds has an idea of, I know what's coming here, I know he's going to come back inside. If I know it's going to be there, I'm hitting it out. And that's something that the Astros benefited from, where if you know it's there, you're going to catch up to it. It's different in football where you can know it's coming and not be able to stop it.
So Connor Stallions documentary, Michigan, obsessed fan. I suggest it on Netflix. Way better than Air McNair. Let's hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on.
All right, Tolos, right now, call our number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of Rangers tickets to see the Rangers take on the Angels on Friday, September 6th. That's call our number 10 at 877-881-1053.
It's a hump day. It's Expressway. We got Thomas Dimitroff coming up at 8 o'clock to preview the NFL season and talk about all the Cowboys contract drama. But that means right now we chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
Is this a bro code violation? Peyton, go ahead and answer the phone. We'll do that later. I know you got work to do. Is this a bro code violation? Jennifer Lopez is, you know, maybe perhaps.
And look at Nerd Bobby real quick. I'm sorry. He sent us his proof of these underground networks. I knew he was involved in these.
Oh, my God.
Look
I'm
at
in
all
there,
these.
Baby. Maybe I was helping Connor out. You don't know.
Clinics, drill tapes, high school film, defensive film, digital materials, specialties film. I'm reading this verbatim, y'all. Weight room materials?
Don't dry snitch.
Is this some red?
Yeah. So Artists Equity is Ben Affleck's company. Now, he and Jennifer Lopez are going through a divorce.
Again.
Another one. Never
saw it coming.
Another one. But anyway, his company is producing her next two movies. J-Lo is portraying the mother of NCAA champion wrestler Anthony Robles in one movie. It's called Unstoppable. It will have its world premiere in September. Despite being one of the producers of the film, Affleck will not be attending the premiere.
Yep.
But his BFF, Matt Damon, who's a co-founder of the company, will be.
Ooh.
Is this a bro code violation that Matt Damon, even though it is work, technically it's work related,
right?
But he is going to the premiere of the event next month.
I don't know his relationship with,
Now apparently, Damon warned Ben, do not get back with her.
Oh, really?
Like, this is going to end the exact same way, and I don't want to have to go through the having you cry on my shoulder again.
You know, I don't think it's a bro code violation. I'm like, I'm going to be on the other end of the press. I'll stay away from her. I think this brings up the question of, what do you do in the divorce? You know, Choppy, you said that, you know, your first wife friend group kicked you out.
Oh, yeah, she got all the friends. She got all the friends in the divorce.
She got all the friends
all the
in the divorce.
And the house and the kids.
Yeah, I had so one of the guys that I lived with in college, like four of us would always just get like an apartment or a house. And his girlfriend was basically our fifth roommate. And she became like a little sister to me. And they broke up. And I still like, you know, checked in with her to see how she was doing and stuff. And he got mad about that. And I was like, bro, like, you made this girl, we didn't charge her, right? You made this girl like a fifth part of our family. Like, I'm just not totally cutting her off. I like her, and I'm going to continue to talk to her. So, no, he thought. He tried to accuse it. That's where it tried to go. But no, I did never mess with her. But that, I think that's what this brings up here. What happens when the friends split?
The tough one. That's the tough one, because it's like, you know, who was friends first is a big part of that.
Yeah. Like when Kristen divorces Bobby, I'll still talk to Kristen.
Oh. Right.
You know? Yeah. When Peyton gets dumped by Mackenzie, I won't talk to Mackenzie. Yes. She, like, just like she doesn't want to talk to us ever. Too cool. Now, is she coming on Sunday?
Maybe. Yeah, oh, she'll be there. Come on, she'll be there.
We're about to institute a ban.
Yeah, that's about to be a ban.
About to have a Connor Stallions ban.
Bobby's getting in the pool with his hoodie on. You guys are going to have your race.
Oh, yeah, we got to have our swim off.
Your big swimming race.
You better have $1,000 ready for me. I view Hollywood as any normal people codes go out the window.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's such a weird environment and social setting that I don't know that you can apply like our rules to what they do, because it seems like it's so borderline incestuous.
Are you really tight with any of the wives or girlfriends from Los Hombres?
I am. I've known, I mean, obviously one couple had been dating, or they're together now for 10 years. So, but I mean, that same friend in middle school and high school, he dated a girl for almost 4 years. And as soon as they broke up, I stopped talking to her. Because I'm you know, best friends with him. And it's like, if he finds out, like, I wouldn't be doing anything with his ex, but like, if I'm talking to her, she's like, he's probably like, okay, really, dude, like, it's me or her.
Yep.
All right. Next story. I've been waiting all week to talk about this one. They are back.
Texas?
I love this song.
Oh, it's a great song. I think this is the most underrated. It's not like that. Wonderwall gets more pub and all that. Champagne Supernova. I think this is their best one. Oasis, Bobby, is back. Peyton, do you have any idea who this band was?
Zero. Had no idea they existed.
How old are they now?
It's been 30 years. Yeah, I mean, they were mid-90s. I remember my sister, she was like 12 when that first album came out, and like, that's all she listened to on repeat. I hated them just because of that.
That's
then
a great,
like,
song.
I started to grow an appreciation. Yeah, they were were completely trying to rip off the Beatles.
Look, Oasis is great, and it's one of the fact that the brothers have been fighting as long as they hate each other. Like,
what's the story? I don't know anything about
them. The brothers just
them.
Despise each other. That's the biggest reason why Oasis has not done anything. They've tried so many times to reconcile, and they can't. They hate each other. They work really well together in terms of they can create stuff together, but they despise each other, and they openly talk about hating each other.
That's insane.
But there's a little bit of, when I hear this, I'm like, it's a great song. It's a great song. And it sounds like every other song that they have.
They do
all
have
their songs.
That.
This sounds like Champagne Supernova. It does. This sounds like Bittersweet Symphony. That's Verve Hype. What's the other Oasis one?
Wonderwall.
Wonderwall. Like, they all sound the same.
They have that kind of like, Jimmy Buffett had a lot of songs that kind of sounded a little bit similar, right? You know, the Yacht Rocky guys. They have that, like, they all sound a little bit alike. But they're great. They're great. I mean, this is great to have them back.
So they're going on tour.
They're
going
to have a tour. Yep. So they're going to, it's right in July of next year. They're going to start it all in the UK and Ireland. And then, they'll hopefully be coming to the States at some point. That would be kind of cool. What do you do in this situation? You go to a gas station and you ask the clerk, hey, what scratch off ticket should I buy? And the clerk says, get this one. And you buy it. And you scratch it off, and you win $500,000.
Woo!
In this story, there is no mention of this guy giving the clerk any kind of a tip. If you win $500,000 on a scratch-off, now you don't owe anything, but if you ask for their help and they pick one out for you, do you have any obligation, moral or whatever, to give them a little something for the effort?
$500K? Yes, you do have the moral obligation.
An Oklahoma fine. Give them $5,000.
$5,000?
$5,000 to $500,000. I think that's fair.
That's fine. That's a fine number.
$5,000? Is that
That may be a little high.
Is that cheap? I don't know.
Maybe a little. You think it's cheap?
I mean,
okay.
you pointed at it. You weren't going to buy it.
Yeah.
I think $5,000 is generous.
I'm down for that. And let's be honest about it. Whether you really would go back, it probably has to be within the first 24 or 48 hours of me off that high or getting the money where I'm like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to make sure I do this. Also, how far is the drive? Are we talking about did I get this on the way home from Austin? You know, is it a 2-hour drive back? But yeah, $5,000. I'm definitely giving money back.
Well, how much are the taxes? Am I really getting the $500K or is it $495? Because that factors into it. He might be getting, $1,200 after
that's
the taxes.
I didn't even think of the
taxes.
Dude,
I feel like Peyton might be an undercover a-hole. He's talking about not trusting people, and I don't know. I feel like when he snaps, he might have a little tantrum.
Yeah, you might. Yeah, I could see that. He could set the building on fire. Yeah, I didn't even think of the taxes part of it. Now you're down to what, 350? 300,000?
Yeah, 5K. Still 5K.
5K?
Yeah, because 5K and 500, that's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. You're fine. So, yeah, I think that's fair. 5,000, something like that. But it doesn't surprise me. Peyton's trying to cut corners. The man who won't order guacamole.
Do the Dolphins.
Dolphins. This is great. So, this is a problem in Japan right now where Dolphins officials are saying that there's this one dolphin that continues to be sexually assaulting humans. At the rate of over 50 since 2022.
Dolphins?
Dolphins. Dolphins get very frisky. There's this one, they say, the marine biologists say, there's this one dolphin who can't find a mate, and he is just taking out his frustration on swimmers in this bay, in this Wakusa Bay. And this dolphin is just out there just womping away on all these patrons out there in the sea.
Giving swimmers the swimmers.
Yes. Yeah, so there you go. So if you're going to go to Japan, don't go to this one bay unless you want to be assaulted by a dolphin.
Unless you're lonely.
Chopping it up every single hump day during the commercial-free expressway with the Texas Rangers ticket giveaway. He's one of our favorites from the Super Bowl every year. Former general manager of the Atlanta Falcons. Is he buying all this Atlanta hype? What does he think about the Lamb deal, and is that going to get done? Thomas Dimitroff previews the Cowboys and NFL season next. Is that a whale or a dolphin? On 105.3, The Fan.